Now look at Matthew chapter 4. And verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Father, we pray that you'll bless us this morning. You will minister to us, grant us understanding, Lord God, of your word. Quicken our hearts and our minds, Lord God, that our ears will be open and our hearts and minds will be receptive. Touch our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about the kingdom of God. Pastor Andrew has been talking about it. Last time I spoke here, I shared on the kingdom of God and the way God does things. The problem that we have in New Zealand is we have no concept of a kingdom. We have a concept of a government where everybody has a vote when we vote a government in, but we have no idea what a kingdom looks like. And yet God has reduced, Jesus has reduced life down to two things. He said, "Seek ye first." You don't seek first your job. You don't seek first money. You don't seek the future of your family. You don't seek. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of," talk to me, "the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And if you're going to seek something, you don't seek the future. You seek a kingdom. Now, many of us will locate and relocate and will educate ourselves. And the main reason we get educated is to get a job. That's wrong. That does not mean you shouldn't get a job. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't get educated. But we are doing things wrong because the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom. If you can do that, then God will, everything else will be added to your life. The things that you pursue will be added when you find the kingdom. But if you don't find the kingdom, you will spend the rest of your life trying to look for the additions, and sometimes you will die and never find the kingdom. Why? Because we have no concept of what a kingdom looks like. Are you okay? But don't lose me, I'm just talking. All right. Hallelujah. And we shared when I was here last that the reason we drink tea four times a day is because who used to be our king, we are now a democracy, our king used to drink tea four times a day. We never used to drink coffee. Why? Because our king did not drink coffee. We drink tea. We drive on the left-hand side of the road. Why do we drive on the left-hand side? Who told us to drive on the left-hand side of the road? What's wrong with driving on the right side of the road? Well, you can't drive on the right side of the road in New Zealand. Why? Because when we had a king, that king drove on the left side of the road. Are you okay? Now, if an American comes over here and they drive on the right-hand side of the road in America, He can't come here and say, well, I'm going to drive on the right-hand side of the road because I come from America and we drive on the right-hand side of the road. Well, bless your darling heart and stupid head. You'll get locked up. Why? Because here, you don't drive, it's illegal to drive on the right side of the road. And all these things happen because when we had a king, he drove on the left-hand side of the road. Are you all right? Now, many years ago, there were kings. Today, there are no kings. There was a king of France. There was a king of Spain, king of Denmark, king of Greece, king of England. And kings have kingdoms. And for the king to be able to extend his kingdom, he has to colonize other nations. Are you all right? Now, we don't like the word colonize because we think, well, I'm not a colony. And we don't like that. We were in England a few years back. And guess what? They still think of us as colonies. We may wallop them in rugby. They'll say they've got the best rugby team. We may beat them in cricket. They're still the best cricket nation. Why? Because that's where the pattern came from. And when you read in the newspapers, it's so funny. I thought, give me a break. We just thump you in rugby. And the way you write the thing, you're the best rugby nation in the planet. No, why? Why do we play rugby and not basketball? Why do we play cricket? Hello? Who taught us to play cricket? Who taught the Indians and the Pakistanis to play cricket? The kingdom. And today, it doesn't matter where you put a little Indian kid, he will have a ball and a bat. They never used to have balls and bats. What happened? They are copying the kingdom because one time they had a king. Now, the king may never have been to India, but the influence of the king covered the whole of India. Hello? Now, I'm trying to go very, very slowly because I know that some of the things I'm going to share will offend you, not necessarily because it's offensive, but because it challenges your thinking. Hallelujah. And it will ruffle what you think you know. But if you don't listen, then you will get through life and never understand the kingdom. And when the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you have no idea what you're doing. Now here, Jesus said, repent. Now, we minister repentance everywhere. You know, forgiveness, unforgiveness. You know, we need to repent of unforgiveness. And we need to extend forgiveness. And it says here, repent. Why do you repent? Why do you repent of your sin? Why do you repent of the way you do things? Why do you repent from dead works and have faith in God? Why do you repent? Hello? You know why you repent? Because the kingdom is here. Hello? It says, from that time forth, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, at hand is the old English cliche, which means it's here. The kingdom is here, and the reason you repent is because the kingdom is here. Hello? Hallelujah. You okay? Now, repent is, you know, Repent means change your thinking. The word metanoia, change your mind. That means you don't think the way you used to think. Now, many people still think the same way they used to think when they get drunk at the pub. You're just now saved, but you still think exactly the same. Your mind is not renewed. The Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that means you have to think differently from the way you're thinking now. You think the kingdom, you think like a kingdom citizen. When Paul was arrested and they beat him up, you know what he said? I'm a Roman citizen. The moment he said that, why? Because Rome was a kingdom. And the moment he said that, they got so scared and left him alone. Why? Because he was a citizen of a kingdom. Now, most of you know you're a Christian, but you have no idea whether you're a citizen or not. Now, the kingdom has no membership, but the kingdom has citizens. And the one that makes you a citizen is not the people in the kingdom. The one that makes you a citizen is the king of the kingdom. He's the only vote, and he votes to make you a citizen. And until he says so, you can't be a citizen of the kingdom. Hallelujah. And what a kingdom does, and we shared that last time, the kingdom wants to extend its influence because any kingdom wants to increase. Any kingdom. The kingdom of Spain wanted to increase, and they went to South America. And when you go to South America, most of the countries in South America speak what? Spanish. The architecture of South America is what? Spanish. The food of South America is what? Huh? The influence of the kingdom goes to the colony, and the culture of the kingdom and the influence of the kingdom changes the colony until the culture of the kingdom dominates everything in the colony, that the colony looks exactly like the kingdom. Why do you eat with a fork and knife? Because the king eats with a fork and knife. Hello? Say amen. Why do we have a parliament like we have? Why do we have a king's council and a queen's council? Why do we have a king's church and a queen's church? Because they act on behalf of the king. Do you know there's a queen's church? And you know the name of the chair the queen's church sits on? You know what it's called? You know what it's called? Throne. Throne. It may be in Whanganui, but if a queen's church comes to Whanganui, the chair he sits on is called a throne. It represents the throne of the queen. Hello? The Queen's Counsel is a lawyer, and the reason he's called the Queen's Counsel is he acts on behalf of the Queen. What do you mean behalf of the Queen? He's representing somebody, but he acts on the law that are set down by the... Hello? I'm not angry, I was just trying to get to you. Hallelujah. Say amen. So, a king wants to extend its influence because a king wants to increase and a kingdom wants to increase. That's just the nature of a kingdom. And the Bible, Isaiah prophesied about the kingdom of God, this kingdom shall know no end. The increase of his kingdom shall know no end. Why? Because every kingdom wants to increase. Therefore, it extends its influence and increase into other places. Now, how far does this kingdom have to extend? You know what Jesus said? Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? Repent, because the kingdom is here. Now, so many times we get caught up in the church. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but the gospel is not the gospel of the church. But some people go, I'm a Catholic. Well, bless your darling heart and stupid head. I'm an Anglican. Well, I'm not. It's the gospel. The gospel is not the gospel of the church. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. The church is the instrument of the kingdom to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus said, I'll give you the keys of the church. He didn't say that. I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom, not the keys of the church. I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you release on earth is released in heaven. The church is not the kingdom. The church is the instrument to preach the kingdom. Are you all right? Say amen. Is this getting somewhere? Are you understanding this? I hope you are. Hallelujah. Now, a kingdom is known by its wealth. Hallelujah. Amen. Fear and I went into the Windsor Castle. And there's a room there called the Golden Room. Everything in the room is gold. Everything. We went into another room and there are daggers there. Daggers, you know, was, and the olden days, people used to put their treasures in their daggers. So in the handle of those daggers are rubies and sapphires so large. I mean, just taking one dagger will make you a millionaire. And they've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. And I thought, wow. The queen is not a pauper. Hello? Well, let's talk about the kingdom. Because today we don't have a lot of concepts of the kingdom. The king in a kingdom is responsible for everything that happens in the kingdom. And everybody wants to behave in a manner that will take on board the values, the nature of the king. Hallelujah. Are you okay? When I was growing up and studying geography, social studies at school, I studied. And I looked at the map at the time when I was a young boy, and almost the whole world map was red. And I said, why is that red? They said, those are all the countries that come under the kingdom of Great Britain. Canada was red. Australia was red. New Zealand was red. Kenya was red. Nigeria was, I might say about everything was red. Why? That is the extent of a kingdom. Hallelujah. Now Jesus said something. He said, pray your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you all right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Why? Because earth is a colony of heaven. God wanted to extend His kingdom. So He created you and I in His image and put us on the earth. Adam lost the kingdom authority. Jesus came to gather that kingdom back and give it to the church. Give it to you. Many people live trying to make ends meet because they don't know they are actually in a kingdom. And it is the king's responsibility to look after his citizens. My God shall supply. My God shall supply. My God shall supply. The king supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory by the king. And when the king turns up, he says, I'm able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. So however big you think, how big did I think? That's small. It doesn't matter how big you think, that's still too small. Why? Because God is able to do better above all that you ask or think. Why? Because He's the King of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Are you alright? Now, I'm trying to use terminology that we can relate to. We're not even scratching the surface of what God's heart is. Are you alright? Hallelujah. The costliest commodity we have on the planet is what? Gold. What does God use gold for? Asphalt. Asphalt. You know, the streets of gold. Asphalt. I mean, how rich is this king? Now, what about black pearls from Rarotonga? I mean, these pearls are so huge. You haven't seen anything like it. You know what he uses it for? Making doors. I mean, you look at all of the precious stones that you can find. You know what they are? They are concrete for your city. Hello? Are you all right? Okay. One of the poorest countries, well, the poorest country in the South Pacific is the Solomon Islands. Per capita, it's the poorest country, poorest island. The average wage in the Solomon Islands is $1.29 an hour. But our dollar here, the Australian dollar, is 7 Solomon Island dollar to 1 Australian dollar. But $1.29 an hour, Solomon Island dollars, is the average wage. So you can work for a whole week in the Solomon Islands, and you can go to the Kitano Hotel and buy breakfast. Your wage for the whole week is not enough to pay for the breakfast. Don't complain here. But this is the thing. No one ever told the coconuts in the Solomon not to grow. There are coconuts everywhere. There are bananas everywhere. There is cocoa everywhere. They just grow. Why? Because in the most poverty-stricken country, when you plant a seed in the ground, no one can stop that seed from growing. The Bible says God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. If we can just... Hello? Now, our problem, as we said, as I said in the beginning, and some of you got offended by it, is we go to school to get a job. So your education, the whole of your education, is to get a job. You know, you can get so educated, you don't even find your gifting. It's not your education that gives you a life. It's your gifting. When you find your gifting, a man's gift will make room for him and will bring him before great men. That's why the most uneducated people have all the wealth, and the PhDs work for the unschooled. Because the unschooled have found their gifting. That's why we said, last time I spoke, you get paid for your job, but you don't get paid for your work. But if you can find your work and some ding-dong pays you for your work, it's fantastic. Now, what's Tiger Woods' work? Golf. He gets paid for his work. And he just loves it. He hasn't got a job. But he's found his gifting. And his gifting gave him a life. His gifting makes room for him and brings him before great men. He's not educated. He hasn't got a PhD. In the kingdom, it's your gift. It's your gift. In the kingdom, it's your gift, not your education. Now, I said, that does not mean you stop educating the kids. You got a brain, educate the thing. But it's not your education. It's your gift. That's why the young guys today, they love their rugby. They get paid for their rugby. They got better homes than you. And while all of you are studying, they're just enjoying themselves. Why? Their gift. You say, but they're not in the kingdom. No, they are not. But they've discovered something by accident. Are you all right? Hey? Hallelujah. Educate yourself. Go to school. You're going to say, well, Pastor said I shouldn't. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you can study until you're blue in the face and never find your gifting. But it's your gifting that's going to give you room. It's your gifting that's going to make life for you. You can retire from your job, but you don't retire from your work. Now, there are people who will give their lives to their job, but have never worked. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You should see your faces. Now, if I can change your mindset, then it's amazing. You know why? Because a lot of people say, whoa, you're preaching that prosperity gospel again. Let me say this. Jesus never preached prosperity. Why? Because in the kingdom, there is no poverty. You only preach prosperity in cultures where there is poverty. Now, what happened one day, and they were in a place with no shops. It was a desert place. It was the evening. And if there were any shops, it will all be closed. You know what he said? Feed them. What? Feed them. How can you feed them? Why? Because he's operating from his kingdom. And he said, okay, tell them to sit down in 50s. He said, we haven't got any food. And Philip and Andrew said, there's a boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Here, give it here. And when he divided it, there was more food left after they feed than the lunch. So after using 5 loaves and 2 fishes, 5,000 guys were fed, not mentioning their wives and their kids. And then he said to the disciples, now gather up what's left and take it home to the boy's mom. What is that? That's kingdom provision. Did you know that in the kingdom, healing is not a miracle? It's part of the culture. Hello? And we write books about people getting, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, but what I'm saying is, if we understand kingdom culture, are you all right? I like what that lady Francis. What's her first name? Francis. Dr. Pat Francis. She said, cancer. Somebody just need to understand how to download it. But cancer has a cure. Are you all right? Say amen. Now, it's funny what he said, you know, when he divided the goats and the sheep, and he said, you come and inherit the what? Kingdom that was prepared for you from before Adam was made. Hello? I think I better stop. You tell a young kid, don't marry a non-citizen of the kingdom. They say, why not? I love my boyfriend. He's not a citizen of the kingdom. Why do you not marry somebody who's not a citizen of the kingdom? Because the king says so. I think I've given you enough to. So go home and have lunch.